Most people don't. You've got some people apparently that do, but you always see at Mother's Day this few group of ladies that are upset about Mother's Day, and there's a thing going around about an open letter to pastors asking them not to acknowledge mothers in church because it makes women that for whatever reason don't have their mother with them, or they've lost a child, or they couldn't have a child, or whatever. And, you know, we're sympathetic and compassionate towards people because everybody has problems. None of us have had a perfect life without anything going on that doesn't sometimes hurt us or cause us to have pain at some time or another. But you know what? Mother's Day is not about you. Everybody has a mother or had a mother. You were birthed into this earth by somebody. And so this day is about honoring her, whether she was a good mother, a bad mother, a crazy mother, whether she's still here, whether she moved in with you again, and you, regardless of the circumstances, it's just a day set aside to honor the one that is your mother. And now, I woke up today, I'm a mother, but I didn't get up thinking, wonder who's going to bless me today? What are my children going to do? Now, I'm thinking of my mother and the blessing that she was in my life. And of course, you know, my children, they take after my dad, his sense of humor. So I got up this morning to a Facebook picture of my daughter, who is 8 months pregnant, wearing a formal dress, standing beside this really handsome guy, and the thing says, prom 2015. Proud mother moment. Thankfully, they are married. This is baby number 4, and he's a coach at the football, on the football team, so they were going to chaperone the prom. So I was like, well, that's my Mother's Day present. But, you know, we are supposed to honor our fathers and our mothers. Today is the day that we're going to honor our mothers. And like it was mentioned earlier, God sees that as something very important because it's mentioned throughout Scripture about the importance. And I want us to first look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. This is where it's found in Ephesians. And it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And now, one thing that was interesting to me is that word honor. You know, usually when we think about honor, it's just respect or reverence or whatever. But that word honor means to listen to something, to hearken with stillness or attention, as a doorkeeper would in order to answer. So when we're supposed to honor our parents, what we're doing is we are listening to what they're telling us. When you listen to your parents because they are trying to give you good counsel, it causes things to go better in your life. You know, when a mother is raising children, she's instructing them not because she doesn't tell them, you stay out of the road, because she hates them and she doesn't want them to have any fun. She's telling them that for their protection because she doesn't want them to be run over by a car. And, you know, moms, they've got a pretty dirty job. Dad runs off to work a lot of times, not in every family, but then mom's there, you know, teaching and training and having to instill these things in children. But it's to, number one, when I was training my children, I wanted them to obey me and listen to me because, number one, I didn't want them getting hurt. I didn't want them sticking forks in the outlets and, you know, I didn't want them writing on the walls and all this other stuff. But ultimately, I wanted them to learn to obey me and listen to me because I knew that when they started school, they were going to have to listen to their teachers. And that as they got older and went out into the workplace, they were going to have to listen to their employers. And that ultimately, and most importantly, they were going to have to learn to listen to God when he spoke. I did not want to raise children who rebelled against everything that anybody ever said to them and just thought that they could go their own way. And so that was my motive, was to train them ultimately for their good, so that when their Heavenly Father spoke to them, they said, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, because they were already trained. So when the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way they should go, that's a part of it. Now, you know, there's lots of things that moms say. These are just some of the things. Did you hear me? What did I just say? You better listen to me. Don't make me say that again. And because I said so, that's why. And it seems like everything we're talking about is either say, listen, hear me. Because mothers are speaking into their children's lives. And I've even seen, now Jessica left the room, so I'm still going to talk about her. But I love sitting back there when her boys are on the front row. Because now Ben's off in his little praise world. He doesn't even know what's going on the front row. But Jessica, them eyes are on that front row. She knows what's happening. And the minute those boys start cutting up, she doesn't have to say a word with her mouth. But her eyes speak volumes. She can cut those eyes and those boys go. And I have seen a time or two where they kind of looked at her like, maybe we will and maybe we won't. And she'll take one step like she's coming off that thing. And then it's over. So, you know, mothers speak and children know their mother's voice. They say even from the womb. As a mother is talking and the baby's in there and they're hearing their mother speak, when a baby is born, even when their mother starts to speak, they already recognize that voice because they've heard it. And so you can, and even as they grow up through life, you know, a toddler can be somewhere crying or not happy if they're with someone else, and all they have to do is hear their mother's voice. And, you know, out of all the other commotion, they know that voice. And so... Well, before I get into that, I want you to also look at, I'm going to read Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 before I move on out of the Mirror Bible. I forgot I wanted to do that before I got too far. This says, the way children respond to their parents give evidence to their righteousness in the Lord. The first commandment that includes an immediate and long-term incentive is in reference to children honoring their father and mother. Both quality and duration of life on earth is impacted by the way children relate to their parents. And so I just thought that was good, the way that that was worded, that the quality and the duration of your life is determined by the way that you relate to your parents. Because I have said, I brought you into this world and I will take you out. I don't think that's what that scripture meant, but anyway, so we take the time to honor parents, mothers today, and also it ties in what I wanted to talk about this morning. I also want us to look over at John chapter 10. And we're going to start at verse 3. Now, this is talking about, Jesus was talking about when if somebody other than the shepherd walks into the sheep pen, the sheep know that it's not the shepherd. But when the shepherd comes in, the sheep recognize him. It's like when if a baby couldn't see and a woman came up and said, give me my child, and it wasn't his mother, the baby would know. But when it hears his mother's voice, he knows his mother. But verse 3 says, to him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth forth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And so just like a child can know their mother's voice, we are supposed to know the voice of our shepherd. And the way you do that is the same way a child does. You have to spend so much time with them and be, you know, Christ in you and you in Christ, that you are so familiar with his voice that when he speaks, you know it's him and you respond. And then I want to look down at verse 27 right quick. And it basically says the same thing. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I thought that when you know his voice, the next step is to follow him. Whatever that voice is telling you and instructing you to do, and me, we're supposed, just like an obedient child, when your mom says, pick up your socks, and you say, why? I don't have to tell you why. Just pick up your socks. Just out of obedience. When the Lord tells us to do something, we need to learn to be that quick to obey his voice. I know I've had, and that's what I wanted to title this message this morning, was whatever he says to you, do it. Because here lately, I've had a few little strange incidences. You know, over the years I've had times where I have felt very strongly that the Lord spoke something to me that was maybe even a life-threatening situation for myself or someone else, where I'd feel like I need to take action right now. You know, whether it was in a vehicle or with something going on with one of my children. And he would tell me whether to pray or if I needed to go a different way or whatever. But here lately, I've had those same feelings over the silliest little things. Like, I was getting my money out of my billfold one day, and I was going to zip it, and that voice said, you need to zip the other pocket. Okay. I zipped it. I didn't think anything about it. Well, then the next morning, I'm in there mix up my little drink before I do my workout, and I had the spoon in there, and I'm also trying to work out and get ready for work and do all that stuff. So I left the spoon in there, and I went to go do something else, and that voice said, go take the spoon out of that. What? It's like, there must be some chemical reaction that takes place. So I went in there and I took the spoon out, and I got to thinking, what in the world? I've never taken the spoon out before. And all of a sudden the Lord said to me, I am training you to listen to me as soon as I speak something. This isn't about the spoon. This is about, I need you to be obedient as soon as I speak something. Because we are coming into a time in the church age where if we are not familiar with God's voice enough and are not so quick to obey him that if he says, move right, we jump immediately, we could be in trouble. You know, as things take place in our country and in this world and in our families and everything that goes on, God has protection for his people. He has blessing for his people. He has things that he wants to do in our lives. But he is also trying to lead us the way that we should go. And to do that, we have to be very sensitive to his voice. And as soon as he speaks, just like when Mama cuts her eyes, as soon as you see him cut his eyes, it's not straightening up as a sense as you're wrong, you're being punished, you're being, you know, but it's in a sense of I need to obey because my father is trying to protect me from something or trying to lead me into blessing in an area. And so then, you know, one of the things that he wants to do is not only it is for our protection, but it's also he wants to put us in places where we can begin blessing others, because we should be bringing in this great harvest of people into the body of Christ and ministering more and doing more. But, you know, you have to use wisdom when you're ministering to someone, because if you can't just barge up to people and say, you need to get saved right now. If they're not ready, if the time is not right, it's going to be ineffective. You have to learn to listen to the voice of God as to when those times are right. So I had been being prompted, the last couple of months, that I needed to start having some cash on hand, because I had it in my heart that I wanted to be able to just randomly bless people if the Lord brought them across my path. And, you know, I was kind of dealing with that and thinking about some of the best ways to do it. And the problem was, is I never keep cash on me because I use my debit card. If I have cash in my pocket, I can put $100 in there and it's gone, just because, you know, it's just so easy to spend when it's in your pocket. So, you know, I was thinking, you know, how much should I take out of my check and put back? You know, what would be the details? Well, finally, it was Friday morning. The Lord said, you know, are you ever going to get some cash out and put it in your billfold? So I was actually running a little bit late for work that morning, but I went by the bank, and I was getting my hair done that afternoon, so I got out enough to pay her, and then I got out the additional amount that he told me that I needed to keep, and I put it in my billfold, and then I went on to work, and I always leave my pocketbook in my car at work because I'm all around in my office, and I don't like leaving it laying around, so I just lock it up in my car. But on the way to work, I prayed, and I asked the Lord, I said, you know, you direct me and bring people across my path, and I believe that I'll know when the time is right to do something with this. So, a little bit later that morning, somebody came to the door at the church, and I have to really guard myself against my attitude, because when you work at a church office every day of the week, I would say that 90% of my phone calls and the biggest majority of our visitors are people needing assistance. Out of that group, there's a very small handful that probably truly need assistance. The others found out that we're the church that pays your bills. You can come get money from us to pay your light bill, and then you still have money for your iPhone 6 and your beer and your cigarettes. And those are the ones that, you know, after a while I get kind of, I have to do an attitude check every once in a while because I just want to tell everybody, go get a job. And so usually when people call or come by, I'll either send them into the pastor that handles that, or as the case has been here lately, because we've had so many people that have needed assistance, we're out of funds. And so it's just been a very easy pat answer. Anytime somebody calls or comes to the door, I just say, I'm sorry, we're out of funds. We can't help you today. Well, this young mother came to the door Friday, and she had probably about a six-year-old daughter with her. And, well, I won't say anything else because you can't judge a book by its cover. But I would say that she probably was not living a prosperous life. And she started in with her story. And, you know, I felt kind of bad for her. But I told her we didn't have any funds. And she started to cry. And so I started offering her some other places maybe she could go check, and she had been to those, she'd been everywhere. And I said, well, I can give you a few places. Do you need directions? Yes. I said, do you have a phone so you can look it up on your GPS? No. I said, oh, she doesn't have a nicer phone than I do. So that's a good. And then I saw her car. She wasn't driving a brand new car. And so, but you know, I didn't think anything about it because the church was out of money. So she's going back out to her car, and the Lord said, well, there she went. Oh. So I went out the door, and I went by her, and I said, wait right there. And I went over to my car, and I got the money out, and I came back to her, and I told her, I said, you know, this is not as much as you need, but this is a small part, and the Lord had me pray for her, and he gave me an opportunity to talk to her and minister to her a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't about, here's somebody else coming to the first church wanting a handout, to now, God has put me in a position to minister to a human being that was hurting and needed some assistance. And it wasn't until after she left, and then it dawned on me, I went to the bank this morning. God was actually able to use me because I finally obeyed when he told me to put a little bit of cash in my pocket. And then when he brought somebody by who I almost let slip away. It's like, oh, yeah. And so it's been him leading me and trying to, you know, start paying attention when I talk to you, because I have things for you to do. I have people for you to minister to. I want to take care of you. I'm your parent, and I love you, and I know what's best for you and those around you, and I see the big picture. And so, you know, I just want to encourage everybody that, you know, begin to spend some time really listening to that voice, like a doorkeeper listening for the knock at the door, so that when he starts to speak to us, we will hear him. Now, I want us to look over at James chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." So we're supposed to be very swift to hear. And I looked up the word "hear" several times in the Bible. It's listed over 550 times. And almost every single time, Old and New Testament, that word "hear" means obey. It doesn't mean just hear the sound. It means listen with the intention of doing something about it. Like when your mama says, "Listen to me." She's not just saying, "Hear my mouth spouting off." She's saying, "Do what I said to do." And then down in verse 22 through 25, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And then I love the way this was worded in the Message translation. I'm just going to read it to you. I wrote it down. It said, "Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other, act on what you hear." So, you know, the message that I had this morning was not very long, but I think it was very powerful. Sometimes, you know, when Mama tells you something, she doesn't have to tell you much, and she doesn't have to say a whole lot to get her point across. But we need to learn to listen when God tells us something. And the last thing that I wanted to read to you, this is Ephesians chapter 6. This was part of what my dad read last Sunday. And I was sitting back there reading this chapter in the Mirror Bible while he was reading it, and I was about to jump out of my seat because it was so good. And so I wanted to read a little bit of that to you this morning. And it was talking, you know, to refresh your memory, we were talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And that's part of the whole thing is we're part of God's army. We have got a job to do for him, and we are fully equipped. So this says, "The way children respond to their parents give evidence to their righteousness in the Lord." I read this a little bit earlier. "The first commandment that includes an immediate and long-term incentive is in reference to children honoring their father and mother. Both quality and duration of life on earth is impacted by the way children relate to their parents." Now I want to drop down and read where he started in verse 10. It says, "In conclusion, and with reference to the theme and context of this writing, I encourage you to realize your strength in the Master. Your union with Him is your limitless resource. Fully immerse yourself in the detail and significance of every individual part of the armor. Just like every aspect in a soldier's armor significantly completes his battle uniform to best equip him to face every method and strategy that a fallen mindset could possibly employ against him." And I like this: "People are not the enemy. To target one another is to engage in the wrong combat. We represent the authority of the victory in Christ in the spiritual realm. We are positioned there. We target the mind games and structures of darkness, religious thought patterns, governing and conditioning human behavior. So I love that, you know, people are not the enemy. And when we start targeting others, whether they're Christians, non-Christians, no matter who they are, we're shooting at the wrong enemy. The enemy is in the spiritual realm, and that's where our battle is, and that's where our provision for battle is in the spirit realm. It says, it is most important, therefore, to acquaint yourself with every aspect of God's armor. Now, this is something God's telling us to do, so we need to be quick to do it. Acquaint yourself with every aspect of God's armor. You are fully fit to powerfully defeat any onslaught or contradiction on any day of confrontation. Triumphantly standing your ground, the days where the law of hardships, annoyances, and labor dictating your life are over. Take your position. You have the truth. It's wrapped around your hips like a soldier's belt, holding the complete body armor together. Righteousness covers your heart like a bulletproof breastplate. You wear your eagerness and passion to communicate the good news like a soldier's shoes. Announce peace. The battle has been fought and won. It is most important to engage your faith as a man-sized shield that covers your whole person and empowers you to extinguish the flame in every arrow of contradiction that you might face. Now, I love this. The only visible part of you is your faith. That's all the enemy can see when he comes against you is your faith. But you've got to keep it up like a body shield in front of you. Pondering redemptive realities is your headgear that protects your mind. So keep your mind stayed on the things of God and it will protect your mind. Inspired thoughts give voice to God's word. This is your spiritual sword. Prayer is an ongoing conversation. Praying in the spirit includes every form of prayer, whether it be a prayer of request or a prayer of thanksgiving or worship or interceding for all to realize their saintly innocence. Oh, and remember, you do not have to do all the talking. Always be attentive to the voice of the Spirit. And guess what attentive means? Do what he says. So, you know, I think this is something we all need to work on constantly, all the time. We get busy in our lives And like me, you know, I was thinking about doing that for a while and time was going by. But we all need to get to the place where we begin to, when God tells us to do something, that we don't just give him lip service, yes, Lord, and don't do anything about it. But when we say, yes, Lord, we need to hop to and get on with what he's telling us to do. And, you know, sometimes he does tell us things that are for the future. And he doesn't always give you all the details, but whatever he tells you to do, do it. Like he told Moses, take your shoes off. If he just says, take your shoes off, it doesn't have to make sense. Your mama tells you to take your shoes off because she doesn't want you tracking dirty mud across her carpet. But when God tells you to take your shoes off, he's got a purpose. You don't have to know what the purpose is. He may tell you later. Or if he tells you, you know, stop at this red light and take a right instead of a left. Or I want you to go up and tell this person that I love them. The more that we begin to respond to him quickly, the more he's able to speak to us and bring us to situations where we can actually do things for him. And, you know, a lot of times it's something kind of kooky, you know, or something that doesn't make sense. The scripture where Jesus' mother told them at the wedding feast to whatever he tells you to do, do it. Well, he told them to go get the water pots and fill it full of water. And, you know, that's whatever. But, you know, that wasn't that bad. But then he told them to dip it out and give it to the people to drink. And that takes a little bit of faith and trusting that voice to act and do what he's told you to do. And then you'll see the miracles. And so, if you'll just bow your heads. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you love us as a parent, that you have only our good in mind, that you don't tell us things to punish us or to be mean to us, but you tell us things because you love us and you know the way and you want us to walk in that way. And so, Father, we just want to, right now today, commit ourselves to be more sensitive to your voice and quick to obey that voice. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. All right, now I want everybody to just stand up for a minute. If you've got your Bible, hold it up. If not, you can just pretend you got it. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. And I will do what it says I should do. I am open to the voice of the Lord. And when he speaks to me, I will be quick to act. I will be a blessing to others. And God is blessing me. In Jesus' name. Amen.